Well, who lurks behind the secret door? Tonight, three special coast-to-coast guests. Who are they? That's anybody's guess. We'll find out in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, I'm George Norrie. Now, over the years, we've had thousands of guests, and I mean thousands of guests. And so I have to guess who these secret guest door folks are. Now, the producers truly want me to find out who they are. They want me to guess. So most of the guests have been on quite regularly, so we have a pretty good idea who they may be. But lots of them have changed their voices, and they try to trick me. So let's go to our first guest as we open up the secret door. Hello there.
Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good.
I have to guess who this is.
Who are you going to call if ghosts give you problems?
Mary Ann Winkowski.
You guessed right.
How about that? I'm one for one.
Very good. How are you?
You know, I would have guessed, I think, right before that little clue about ghosts, because I was picking up your voice. I was honing in on you.
Ah, okay.
And it was just a few weeks ago we had James von Prague on, and he was talking about you, so you were still in my mind.
Oh, there you go.
And that Willie Nelson song, "You Were Always on My Mind"?
Mm-hmm.
How was that? How have you been?
I'm good. How about you?
Good, good. Doing a lot of work, traveling, a lot of different events all over the country. But people, Marianne, are always interested in grabbing me and talking about ghosts.
You know what? It's phenomenal the way it just came. It's just come to the forefront. It's everybody. It's on everybody's mind.
Do you think it's because people are questioning whether there's life after death, or maybe they want to connect with their dearly departed one? What do you think it is?
I think it's a combination of a couple of things. I think people are looking for answers, and maybe the dead have the answers for them. And maybe it is, you know, grandpa, you know, that's crossed over that can give them a little hint, you know, comforting words, something to help them get through another day of, you know, looking for the answers. I don't know. And because people aren't afraid to talk about it now, you know, this was not a topic that you talked about freely 10 or 15 years ago. And now it's just nobody's afraid to talk about it or nobody's afraid of being laughed at now.
No, and now to brand new listeners, Marianne, tell them a little bit about you.
I'm a paranormal investigator, which means I can see and speak to spirits that have not crossed over when they died. They stayed earthbound. I'm not a medium. I can't see anybody that's crossed over. I can't see angels. I can't see the good ones. I see the ones that stayed behind. And that doesn't mean that they're bad. It's just that they haven't crossed over yet.
When you were a little girl, you would go to funerals. You'd go to funeral parlors.
Right. Grandma would take me to funerals when I was about 4 years old when she started taking me, because everybody attends their funeral. And sometimes, you know, it's nice to know who gets the coin collection or the stamp collection or where's the key to the safety deposit box. These are good things to know. But a lot of times, if I'm in town, I still get calls, at least 7 to 10 calls a week to attend a funeral.
Now, when you were little and you are still doing this, you see the dead at the funeral. You see the person who passed on, don't you?
Everybody attends their funeral, absolutely. When you walk up to a casket and you kneel down to say your prayer, the dead person's head is to your left and their feet are to the right. And the spirit of that person that's in the casket is usually standing close to the foot of the casket.
Did you hear the story about the funeral parlor owner who was trying to bury this tall guy? And he was too long for the casket, so they sawed his legs, and then they pushed him in. The family went nuts.
Yeah, well, I bet he wasn't too happy either.
No, I would say if you were at that funeral, what would that spirit have said?
Oh, he would have been very, very upset. I just did recently go to a funeral where the person that had died had a disease where he had had his legs amputated. And his son was a little
miffed,
cost conscious.
Oh, and okay. Decided that, cutting corners, was he?
Mm-hmm, and decided that he didn't need to have his artificial limbs on him so they could put him in a smaller casket.
Oh, my. I guess it's cheaper, right?
Yes, it is.
Land and everything.
Yes.
And, oh, my gosh.
Dad wasn't too happy.
No. Do you see pets also?
I do. I do. They stick around also, and they can cause problems.
What do you mean?
Well, say you had a poodle, and your poodle dies, and you get another poodle, and this one hasn't crossed over. The one that hasn't crossed over could be very obnoxious to the new one, and where he's in trouble all the time or causing problems. They can be, I have a Bichon that hasn't crossed over, and he still knocks the pillows off the couch, and he's still not allowed on the couch, even if he is dead.
What's the average time period when someone dies to when they cross over? How long do they hang around here in Earth time?
They usually have about 72 to 80 hours after the cemetery or after the last memorial service, which gives them enough time to be, you know, snoopy, go through people's houses, you know, see what's going on. Nobody's going to know you're there. But that light's going to start, you know, getting smaller and smaller, and you need to go into it before it disappears.
Is it a requirement for them to be whisked away after this time period? Or can they stay longer?
Oh, no, they can stay longer. They just won't have a light, and that's how they become earthbound.
Now, tell me about that. They just won't have a light.
Well, the very second you take your last breath, there's a very bright white light for you. And that light you have to go into, and I'm Catholic. That means heaven to me. But everybody's got their own perception
right,
of that.
That's true.
But if you don't want to go to that light, you don't have to go. And after that time period is up, that light disappears, and that's how you become earthbound, by not going into it. Now, I've seen that light. That light is around everybody when they die. I've been to a funeral recently where a person was put to death by the state. And the white light was right there, and he did heinous things, but the white light was there. So in my world, it works that when you go into that light, somebody's standing there with the clipboard, because I don't think everybody's going to the same place. But everybody does have that white light, and you do have choice whether you go into it or not.
Marianne, every time I've had you on, you've been fun. You've been jovial. You've been gracious. You're a good person. You know, you're a consultant for Ghost Whisperer with Jennifer Love Hewitt. I mean, you're a fun, likable person.
Uh-huh.
Do you ever encounter demonic spirits, though, that aren't friendly? They're not nice, and they want to really do things to you.
I've never in all the years that I've been doing this, I probably ran across maybe five or six that were really nasty, nasty, really, really bad. I don't think they were ever from the light. I really don't. They were used in demonic rituals, Satanistic rituals, that type of thing. So I think they were just horribly negative, negative beings while they were alive. And they're just that way when they're dead. I've had one try to scare me where an axe was actually flipped in front of me where it went right in the front of my face.
Ugh.
And I remember I was in a garage, an attached garage, and when this axe went flying through the air, I remember sitting down. You know how there's like the three steps to walk up into the house?
Yeah.
I remember sitting down on those steps and thinking to myself, Marianne, what are you doing here? You know? And why are you here? And then I thought, oh, no, I got a job to do. And this being did lie to me. And when I made the light, they did say they would go to the light. And when the light got made, they veered off. They walked toward it and then veered off to it and never did go to the light.
Who do you help the most, the dead or the living, or both?
I think it's both. I get thanks so much from the living because their lives are so much better after this is cleared out of their house. But the dead, when I walk in, are so grateful also, and it's like they're mixed. It's like, I'm so glad that they found you. Tell them thank you, thank you, thank you for bringing you here. So it's a combination of both. You know, at the end of the day, George, I feel good.
Well, you should feel good because, you know, you help people, and that's the important thing. I remember you told us a story once, Marianne, about how someone had died and left the money or something somewhere, and nobody knew where it was,
right.
And he was desperate to tell you so you could tell the family.
That's right. It was up in the furnace pipes. Yes, it was. And it was so, when this happens and people find something, a lady the other day got a beautiful set of diamond earrings from her deceased husband because I found the safe deposit box where he had them hidden at that she didn't know about. So after their anniversary, she got her anniversary gift, which was so cool. But it's like, you wonder sometimes why things happen when they happen and how they happen.
Well, is it the luck of the draw or
right.
Is it bad luck?
Which is it? That's exactly right.
I mean, when things happen, Ed McMahon, we just lost him.
Oh,
today.
I know.
I mean, I just thought the world of him. I mean, he was fun and entertaining. Ran into his own little financial mess that human beings run into on this planet.
Everybody's got problems now, right?
But what a super great guy. And I have a dear friend of mine in St. Louis. His name's Jerry Clinton. Jerry was responsible for getting the Edward Jones Dome built for the football team. He was trying to get a franchise team there, and then they ended up getting the Los Angeles Rams there. But he was the one who got that stadium built, and he was a friend of Ed McMahon. And during Ed's rough times, Jerry was there to help him. And he also knew Paul Newman, and he was telling me a great story about Ed McMahon, and he said, you know what, he broke his neck, and not a lot of people knew that, and he was just a great thing. It's just hard to believe that, Johnny Carson's gone, Ed McMahon's gone, and Ed was saying he does the telethon all the time.
Right.
Not gonna do it anymore,
Right. Don't you wonder, I'm so curious to know. I mean, I'm glad I don't or I can't see people that have crossed over because what I do is plenty, but there just must be such a wonderful reunion going on now between Johnny and Ed and when they're all together now. It just must be great to see friends and relatives that they haven't seen in a long time.
Johnny's probably happy. Now he's got somebody who can say, here's Johnny all the time up there.
Huh? And I wonder if when Ed got there, if he went, here's Ed.
That's right. Wherever. That's right. It's about time, Ed.
That's right.
What took you so long? But
it
also tells you how frail we are. That, we're all going to go.
Yeah.
And I had a speaking engagement this weekend at a remote viewing conference. And, I was looking over the audience of several hundred. And in 20, 30, 40, 50 years, everybody in that room's going to be gone.
Yes,
gone.
I know it.
And it's just a weird feeling.
But you know what? Because of the knowledge that I have, the good thing is that I've never been afraid to die. Don't get me wrong. I don't intend to go anytime soon.
No, you want to enjoy your life,
exactly.
Of course.
And I remember thinking when my daughter was put in my arms for the first time, I remember thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I got a terrific husband, but I really want to raise her. Please don't let me die till she's old enough.
And then you'll feel happy.
Yes. And I remember, and I made the same little thing when the second one was born. And I remember we had an in-ground pool at the time, and the girls were like 14 and 11, and I was sitting there watching them in the pool, and I thought to myself, gosh, I guess they're old enough now. Thanks for letting me stay. I remember saying a little prayer, thanks for letting me live this long to see them. And, of course, now the baby's 37, so it's worked for a long time now. But, it's when you know that. And it's not so much a religious thing. I think it's more a personal thing to know that, you really don't totally die. There's always an essence of you that goes on that you're going to be with loved ones, whether you're alive or dead.
We all have to believe that because isn't it scary to think that there is no afterlife, that it doesn't exist?
Those are the best funerals. I mean, that sounds really morbid.
It does.
But
you enjoy it. You go to funerals, you have a little champagne, you're sick, Marianne.
But when I go to a funeral and there's an atheist that has died and is standing there, an agnostic, that thought, that was it, I took my last breath and I'm gone, and there they are standing at the foot of their casket, those are some scared people, let me tell you.
That's got to be remarkable, though.
Yes, yes. It's the looks on their faces is unbelievable. It's like, I cannot believe that there was something else. I'm truly standing here. I'm not a pile of ash. It's like, are you going to go to the light? Well, now they're afraid of retribution. You know?
Danny Gans, the great performer in Las Vegas, passed on several months ago. He died in his sleep, Marianne.
Okay.
When someone dies in their sleep, at what point do they realize, I'm dead?
You know, I think that probably mostly everybody realizes they're dead within 15 minutes of them of their spirit.
They figure it out. I mean, are they
yeah,
a little
they
disoriented?
I think they are, especially people that died of dementia or Alzheimer's. But I think those people, like infants and babies, because I've never run across the spirit of a baby younger than 3, I think there is somebody standing right there to help them. Again, even people with dementia or people that have mental...
But they don't have that anymore once they die, right?
No, that's true. The body is what is maimed or you know, missing parts and pieces. The spirit is always whole. Now, but your personality is the same. So you're still confused. Your mind is still confused. The longer you are out of your body, the better, you know, you get more of your memory back. But it's funny. When I walk into a funeral home and somebody is standing there at the foot of their casket, I can see them holding somebody's hand. Their hand is out like they're holding it, but I can't see whose hand.
Who's on the other side?
Because there's somebody from the light.
And you think that there's always that that entity that is there at the moment of death for everybody?
Yes, I think your guardian angel is always with you. I think that's a constant. So they're there when you were born and they're there when you die. But I also think, and I know for a fact, that people that have died can't see into that tunnel, into that white light, and they are seeing people in that light that they know, love, have missed. They can't talk to them, but these people are motioning, come on. And I get asked, well, I can see my brother Jim up there, but why isn't he talking to me? Oh, he'll talk to you, but you have to go in the light.
Have you ever seen the devil waiting for someone?
If they are waiting, nobody's ever said anything.
Okay, because I'm wondering if a person who, like you said, you're Catholic, you believe in heaven, which means you also believe in hell.
I do.
Which means if they go to hell, how soon do they go?
Well, I still think that that's a universal thing, that white line. And I think everybody has to walk into it. And then it's determined where you go. I think your life review, whatever, once you go into that light, that's when it happens. That's when you get your life review. That's when you find out at what level you're going in at or which road you're taking. I think but the light is the constant. It's there for everybody.
Ghost Whisperer all set for another season?
We are. Yes.
Good for you.
We're starting our 5th season. It's
good for
exciting.
You. Let's take some phone calls when we come back, Marianne, okay? We shall do that. Marianne Winkowski, our special guest. She was number one behind the secret door. So we'll take your phone calls with her next on Coast to Coast AM. So our first guest behind the secret door, Ghostbuster Marianne Winkowski. And we're going to take calls with Marianne in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Hey, if you haven't signed up yet for Streamlink, you can do that by going to the coasttocoastam.com website for just pennies a day. And the great benefits there, downloading and podcasts as well. Streamlink, part of Coast to Coast AM. Marianne, had I not guessed it was you, you would not have been crushed, right?
No.
Good.
I would have been fine.
Good. See, thank God you're not one of those who practices, let's say, like voodoo. You would have, you know, done something to me.
No. I had a couple other clues if you didn't get it after the first one.
All right, let's go to the phones. We've got Paul in Pensacola, Florida. First-time caller. Hi, Paul.
Yes, sir. I was told to give a little bit of background.
All right.
I've had several people in my life that were close to me die. One was a girlfriend of mine and her mother who died back when I was in middle school. Didn't really seem to have a problem other than seeing her in dreams. My grandmother died, who was pretty much the matriarch of the family on my father's side. My grandfather died, who was a completely evil man. We tried to do some channeling, and that didn't work out too well. Uncle died on my father's side, and now both my grandparents are died. I know they're Catholic, so they're gone to where they need to be. My question is, when I was in New York, I was there for the attacks on 9/11 and ended up in Ground Zero one way or the other. I helped picking up body parts and that kind of fun thing. Ever since that particular point in time in my life, I have been in a massive state of confusion. In other words, I can't seem to find my way out of what I want to do and where I was before that particular event in my life. Could this be caused by spirits jumping on, or just the effects of it, or what? I'm trying to figure out how to get past this.
I think it's the effects of it. The spirits, or the energies and the spirits of the people that died in New York, they went to their own relatives. There would have been no reason for them to connect to you. To begin with, most of them would have been grateful for the kindness in the work that you were doing there, so they would have no reason for that, you know, to follow you. I think that being right there, like you say, at Ground Zero, with all the energy of everything that happened, you know, in that time period, I don't think anybody that was there right after it has ever been the same since. Just the idea of this happening in our own backyard, that's something that I just don't think your body, your mind can forget. And I would imagine that's part of what part of what's going on.
I don't feel ill will. I just feel confusion.
Right. And that's it. That's an energy that is around you that's going to be very hard to leave, but it's not an energy of a spirit. It's the energy of the sadness of the horrible thing that happened. I think that's the energy of that. That's very hard to let go of. But you don't have any ghosts around you. I mean, your house is clear as far as that goes. And you brought up a very good thing, is when you dream of somebody that's died, that means that they have crossed over. So any of your relatives or friends that you've actually had dreams of, they are where they're supposed to be. So that's a very good thing.
There you go. Okay, does that help you?
That helps. Thank you.
Okay, Paul, absolutely. Next up, Louisville, Kentucky. We go east to the Rockies. Jake, it's your turn.
Hello, good evening.
Hey.
Hey, Mrs. Winkowski.
Hi.
I read your book, and I thought it was very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for putting it out there.
Uh-huh.
And I read George's, too, and I thought that was very good.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to ask you what your opinion was on, say, shamanism and what you do and what are the differences, say, between shamanism and do you consider yourself more of a medium then?
I'm not a medium, again, because a medium, just in definition, is a person that can talk or communicate with spirits that have crossed over. In other words, ones that have gone into the light. That's why I call myself a paranormal investigator, because I see spirits that have not gone to the light. And as far as the shaman goes, Native American Indians, I think, you know, that would be their paranormal investigator. That's a shaman. That's their station in their tribe or their organization that can do this. But I think they have much more abilities than I have. Because I believe they can communicate with spirits that crossed over, spirits that haven't crossed over. I think with the history and, just because of their lifestyle and everything, I think that they have much more, and I hate to use the word power, but ability. They have just a lot more ability to do things because of the history behind them, and it's in their blood. It's what they do. So, no, I would never be. I would never consider myself close to a shaman.
Okay, thanks. Let's go to Petaluma, California. Hello, Claudia. It's your turn.
Hello.
Hi.
Yeah, I have a question and then a comment on the 9/11 person who called in.
All right.
And my question is, okay, so we all are going to drop our body at some point. So the body, if the body goes in the ground or gets cremated, and the soul or spirit goes to heaven, hell, purgatory, or wherever you think it goes, like the river Styx, where do you go?
You being?
You being you, because if you look at the use of the pronoun or the modifying pronoun, my soul, my body, that's a possessive pronoun, right? So I had the fortune to read Dianetics and experience it, and that answered my question as to who I am separate from the body. That gets very interesting because being something other than a spirit in the sense of something that goes to heaven, hell, or whatever, I became aware that spiritually a spirit should be able to assume any form, whether it's a ghost, an apparition, a partially formed or clothed person or whatever. But that always intrigued me. Yeah, where do I go? And if I can just hang out after I drop this body and pick up another body, like go to a hospital, there's a good pregnant lady and good family, good, I'll check her out.
Off you. So you believe in reincarnation, Claudia?
Well, I believe more in starting up a new body when you drop your old one.
At will?
Right.
Okay.
Yeah, like being responsible for it, and there you are. You land back on planet Earth with this little meat body, and it's like, why are they all talking to me in gibberish? Don't they know I can understand? I think that's why babies get so frustrated, you know?
Interesting. Your reaction, Marianne, then we'll get your final comments,
yeah.
Claudia. Go ahead.
It's an interesting thought. I guess I would have to think about that a little bit more because being that we have free will, I think Claudia may have a point. You know, you can pretty much go and do anything you want to do.
Do you believe in reincarnation yourself?
I do. And it took me a long time to get my head around it, you know. But
The church won't like that.
Yes, I know. And I've actually had discussions with the clergy about that, but there's too much unexplained that reincarnation does explain.
All right, Claudia, go ahead.
I want to switch very briefly from the 9/11 because it kind of took up bodies dying or dropping their body and then being upset and hanging around. About 25 years ago, I was made an honorary member of the Ojibwe tribe. This was in Toronto.
Sure.
Because of some services or deeds I had done for their school. And when I was first crossing this asphalt, playground, and there was no grass in sight, I got the strong smell of sweet grass. And when I mentioned it to the educator there, he said, well, this was once an Indian burial ground. It's actually sacred ground. And I remember walking across it and feeling anxious and nervous as if something was going to happen to me. And I realized it wasn't me. So walking back out, I felt the same spirit. And I just turned around and I said, I can't see you. I mean, I didn't say the words, but I put the mental intention there. I can't see you, but I know you're very upset that your ground is covered with this asphalt. And what I suggest is that you go north and find some nice shaded woody glade and start a new life there. And all of a sudden, the feeling lifted.
That is pretty remarkable. Mm-hmm. That is. Hey, thanks, Claudia. Appreciate those comments. Let's go east of the Rockies. We'll go to Gloucester City, New Jersey. Maria, you are up with us. Hi, Maria.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good.
Long-time listeners, first time I ever got a chance to talk to you. And good morning, Marianne. How are you?
Good morning. Great.
Yes, Marianne, I have a question. Coming up July 13th will be 1 year for me. I received a liver transplant.
Wow.
And a lot of times I have a feeling that this person who has passed is with me still. I get feelings sometimes during the day and evenings that I feel like there's just someone else's presence around me. Could mm-hmm. that person still be here with me?
My guess is the person that donated the liver has crossed over and into the light. But just because somebody crosses over into the light, that doesn't mean that they can't come back or visit. Mm-hmm. Grandmas, grandpas, they don't miss an anniversary, a birthday, you know, an event, anything like that. And people that have had transplants like yourself, I believe that the donor actually stops through on occasion and just to see if by signing that donor card, if they did a good thing or not. And my guess is that, you know, I think it's just a little way of checking on you, making sure you're okay. And you're probably just sensitive enough to it where you're picking up on it. I'm sure they're not there, you know, 24/7, but I bet they come through a couple times a month just to see how you're doing.
Well, because I go out every night and look at the sky, and I try to talk to them and thank them and tell them I'm doing a good job for them.
Yeah, well, I bet they're real happy about that. I think you're doing a terrific job.
Yeah, I've heard so many reports, Marianne, of people who have received organs, other body parts, mm-hmm. Pieces of bone from donors, mm-hmm. and they sometimes pick up on the personality or they have visions, sometimes mm-hmm. pretty graphic dreams.
Right. Like I said, I think that when you sign that little card, or here in Ohio, you sign your driver's license.
Sure.
Right. And I would be curious to know, I think, if I died and somebody got a piece or a part, I think I'd be checking up on them to see how they're doing.
Let's go to next, Bridgeton, Missouri. Carla, near the airport, I bet.
Hi, George. Hi, Marianne.
Hi.
Hi. My question is, I've been seeing spirits for since about 1996, and I have experienced several of them in my house. One warned me not to do something, and I've seen a boy, I've heard a woman talking, but I've also been attacked.
Okay.
And I was wondering what you thought I should do about it or what you saw. I've tried saging. I've had the house blessed by a pastor, and we can't seem to get these things to go away. I didn't mind when they were nice,
mm-hmm.
but now that things aren't going so well.
Mm-hmm.
This is right down your alley, Mary.
Right, exactly. And this is what you've got to do. You did the two things that I would have suggested, smudging the house or having an ordained priest or minister come in and bless the house. That's good. What you need to do with an earthbound spirit that's ornery or they're trying to get your attention to help them, otherwise they wouldn't be getting that strong. What you need to do is take a piece of paper on one side and figure out where you the closest funeral home to where you live, and we'll just make up a name, call it Smith's Funeral Home. Write on this piece of paper, whoever is here, please go to Smith's Funeral Home. When there's a service going on, use the white light and you can cross over. Put that piece of paper on your refrigerator with the magnet, put that piece of paper on your dining room table so when the spirit walks through, they can see the note. That might be what they're trying to do. They might be being so disruptive because they know that you're aware of them that they think you can help them.
Ever come across a mischief maker spirit, Marianne?
Oh, sure.
All the time, I bet.
You know, they are out there. And this is something that you should think, well, I'm going to throw this out there. All these groups out there now, these paranormal groups, these ghost-busting groups, these groups, you know, that go into these houses.
Yeah.
they are really stirring up ghosts, because these ghosts and these earthbound spirits are so anticipating somebody's coming in, we're going to be released, they're going to help us, they're going to do this, they're going to do that. They come in, they set their equipment up, they 10 days later, they send a report to the house, yes, you have a ghost, no, you don't have a ghost, and they don't do anything. These ghosts
is it dangerous?
Very upset. Yeah, it's making my work a little upsetting, because I get called in and then this ghost is like wild. What the heck is going on? I thought I was going to go. Now they know I'm here, so now they're really going to act up. Because now you've got the handy-dandy little report that said, yes, congratulations, you're the owner of a ghost. And God, they didn't do anything about it.
I've got a friend who produces a show for the Cartoon Network, but they're with real kids, and they're ghost hunters.
Okay.
And matter of fact, it's on tomorrow night. And I guess he should warn them, shouldn't he?
Yeah, seriously. Yes, yes. And I'm in all, I am being so serious here. And again, this is, unfortunately, this has gotten so popular. This is what people love to do. But some of them just don't realize the problems that they're causing.
Let's go next to Walnut Creek, California, west of the Rockies. Hey, Rick, go ahead.
Hey, George, I just want to ask you about this thing you did with that man. I was really, really impressed with that. I want to thank you before I get to my question.
Oh, you're welcome.
Marianne.
Yes.
I'm a former Marine, and my father was a Corsair pilot in World War II, so I want to thank you for that. For Marianne, what happens when your mother passes over? I mean, do you know when she passes over? And then also, what happens when she's in a coma?
Okay, if a person is declared legally dead, which in most states means there's no brain function anymore, the spirit is usually out of the body. I have been called in on these, and the spirit is standing right there. And believe it or not, they do not want to be connected. They want all the equipment taken off. Now, a person that's in a coma is not dead. Their spirit is still in their body, and they can hear you, and you know, they're usually aware of the talking around them. But again, a person that is legally brain dead, their spirit is usually out of the body. But
they haven't left yet, right?
No, they're still there because everybody attends their funeral. So they're going to stick around. But as far as your mom goes, as long as when you finally dream of her, you will know that she has crossed over and where she's supposed to be. And the good thing is this. Maybe you haven't dreamt of her yet, but maybe a sibling has. As long as somebody has dreamt of her, she has crossed over and she is where she's supposed to be.
Marianne, thank you so much for being guest number one behind the secret door. Who's behind door number two? We'll find out in a moment.